Kristen, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Thanks, Dennis.
Where are you now?
I'm in Rafah, which is the very south of the Gaza Strip. I've been here on and off for the past 3 months, and I've just been able to get an international delegation down here to do some work with the people and bear witness to what's been happening here. So what we've been able to do as a group is join in a demonstration yesterday. It's a group of people who are stuck in Rafah. They've been here for 2 years, unable to reach their homes, which would really be 15 minutes away by foot, in an area called Milwasi, which is considered special C. It's non-A, non-B, non-C under Oslo. It's not considered to be under Israeli control. It's not considered to be under Palestinian Authority control. The Palestinians are unable to create any infrastructure in this area, do any upkeep, or build any schools. And so the people want to go home. They want to be able to pass through this checkpoint. They want to be able to tend their crops inside of Milwasi. It's a very fertile area, and many people in the whole Gaza Strip have relied on this area to get their produce from. And, of course, we know that when the Israeli government is choosing what area to build its illegal settlements on, it uses fertility of the land as one of its criteria. And so this area of Milwasi is surrounded by settlements now, and in an attempt to drive the residents out by making their lives absolutely unbearable, once somebody gets out of Milwasi, they are not allowed back in. I've been told that the idea is to get all of the young people out of Milwasi to ensure that the next generation can't live there, can't be born into that area, so that it can more easily be taken over by the Israeli government to build more Israeli settlements.
Well, one of the ways that they've been getting rid of young people is to simply shoot them and kill them and blow them up. Two kids were killed over the weekend. One was killed in Gaza, I believe, near Rafah. Do you have any information on that?
An 8-year-old girl was killed in the Khan Yunis refugee camp, which is just north of Rafah. It's another area that's continually under siege. She was killed in the Namsawi area of the Khan Yunis refugee camp, which is an area that's just almost uninhabitable. All of the buildings are riddled with bullet holes. It's used as target practice. I've stayed there throughout the night sometimes, and it's just unbearable how much shooting goes on. And she was struck just trying to live her life. It also happened in Rafah from the sniper post at Salah Adin Gate here in Rafah. Israeli soldiers shot from the sniper post, and the bullet went into a house and struck and killed a girl who was sitting with her family. They also shot a girl who was at her school in Rafah. This is from the sniper post. They just shoot randomly into areas that are heavily populated and don't seem to care who they kill. Part of this is not to take the Palestinian people out by killing them by the numbers of people that they shoot. It's a way to make life so frightening and unbearable that people pack up and leave, or their will is destroyed. And it's a tremendous amount of psychological warfare going on. The people are just squeezed so hard. Many people lose their will to live. I mean, it's devastating what's happening here.
The 8-year-old was sitting with her family, and she was simply killed, shot, dead?
Yes.
I focus on this because when I heard Linda Gradstein on National Public Radio report this, or anything that has to do with the killing of a Palestinian or a Palestinian child, she always ends her story with, Israeli military say they were simply answering fire from Palestinian militants. No matter what the story is, it always ends with the Israeli military was answering fire from Palestinian militants and rock-throwing people, or people throwing, young people throwing Molotov cocktails. So this was an 8-year-old sitting with her family.
Yes, and I've never witnessed a child who throws a rock at a tank doing any damage to the tank. I've never witnessed a child that has a good enough arm to throw a rock far enough to strike an Israeli soldier who is sitting inside of their sniper post. The sniper posts are heavily fortified, and we see very clearly how unafraid the Israeli soldiers are. They walk around the separation wall that they're building outside of the tanks. They come out of their APCs, come out of their tanks, and they walk around while they are working on the digging and working on the destruction of the houses. They pass through the checkpoints. They walk across the miles of cars that are sitting, waiting to pass through. They're clearly not afraid of the people here. They're very little threat to them. And if a Palestinian does take the chance to... I don't know if you heard that, but there was another explosion just now.
Where did that explosion come from?
I saw the light. It's just a couple hundred meters away of that.
I know, because I have reports that F-16s have been flying over Gaza all day. No.
They have been. This is a tank, though. This was a tank. And there are regularly tanks who shell. There have been F-16s flying over all day. You're right. We were in Khan Yunis today at Tufa, trying to get people through that checkpoint so that they could go home. And there were F-16s circling everywhere. This stuff is happening all the time. Palestinians do, though, if any of them do, take the chance of risking their lives to defend their land, to defend their lives by whatever means they can find. Somehow they are deemed terrorists, and I can't for the life of me figure out why it's only the Palestinian people that are expected by the international community to just sit and take it.
This one Palestinian, if you will, area is surrounded by illegal Israeli settlements, and there are snipers that fire out of these settlements?
Yes, all the settlements are used as military fortresses. The sniper towers are positioned around the settlements, which are positioned around Palestinian towns and villages. And the snipers in the sniper towers are Israeli military, and they open fire on the Palestinian people. But there's also the issue of the settlers themselves, who in general are heavily armed. They also take target practice on the Palestinian people, as many people are aware of because of the olive harvest in the West Bank this year. Some people in the international community were able to see the amount of devastation that the settlers wreaked on the Palestinian people as they tried to collect their olives by opening fire on them and also setting fire to the olive groves. So the Palestinian people really take it from all sides here.
What was Christmas like for people in Gaza?
I must tell you that I was in Bethlehem for Christmas, and I went to Bethlehem to join in demonstrations to bring awareness to the fact that the Israeli military continued to stay inside of Bethlehem, and they continued their curfew of the entire West Bank. Just for the cameras that were in Manger Square, the Israeli military stayed out of sight, but they still drove through the streets in their jeeps. They took over five buildings from highest points around the town in order to use them as sniper posts. They took over a radio station, and even on Christmas night, they conducted another midnight raid and went into houses and abducted 10 Palestinians and put them in their prisons.
I'm glad you brought that up. I want to ask you about that since you were in Bethlehem. Again, back to Linda Gradstein of National Public Radio, who has in the past toured the United States taking funds and speaking to Jewish groups. Linda Gradstein went to Bethlehem, and she reported that there were tanks nowhere in sight, nowhere to be seen, and the Israelis had made a move to get out of the town, and they were even helping Israeli Arabs come to Bethlehem to worship.
This, of course, is another publicity stunt and another peg for the Israeli government and its continued propaganda campaign, you know, and it's unfortunate that people like Linda Gradstein perpetuate these myths and fall for it every time. Right now, there's a lot of shooting here.
What's going on? What kind of shooting?
I can see the bullets going through. The tanks have guns on top. It's not just the turret where they fire the shells from. They also have guns up top that fire rapidly. And so they often open fire into areas. Sometimes, you know, they don't strike anyone. You never know if they're going to hit someone or not. And oftentimes they're not even aiming at any particular house. Sometimes they're not, you know, involved in a home demolition or anything. They're just shooting just to frighten the people, just to make life hell here, and it works. Life is hell here.
You say you can see the bullets coming through. What do you mean?
Across the night sky, there are the red flashes of the bullets that are just arcing through the sky just to my left. And to my right is where the explosions are taking place. And There's also white explosive lights that are going off.
What are the Israelis attacking there?
The very humanity of the Palestinian people. They really don't want them to be here. They want to drive them out of this place. When they've been demolishing the houses, what they do is they bury them underground, the same way that people conduct mass graves, where they put the people in the ground and cover it over so that no one will discover the crime. That's what they're doing now with the houses. They're covering them over, all of the rubble from the houses, as if to say there is no one here, to recreate this myth of land without a people for a people without a land. Pretty soon people are going to forget that there were Palestinians living here. Even the first time I was here was in April. I wouldn't know that there were 622 houses in an area that I'm looking at unless I had been here to see them before. You'd never know that there was anything here before.
And is there any resistance to what's going on now? You say tanks are opening fire, there's bullets flying through the air. Is this a response to an attack by Palestinians?
No. What the Palestinians do at this point is, if they stay in their house, it's a major act of resistance. There's one house in an area where all of the residents have left because of they're too afraid. I mean, the constant firing, the constant danger, the camp right there. One family decided to stay in their house. That's the biggest act of resistance that I've seen. And in another area, there's a man who, there's only one room left in his house that has walls, and it's the kitchen. And it's a very small kitchen, and he sleeps there now because he's not going to leave his home. That's an act of resistance here.
And Kristen, are the house demolitions continuing?
Yes, with regularity. I don't think that they're going to stop anytime soon. If they continue to construct this wall, this 8-meter high and 10-meter deep wall, they're still exploding into the ground, rupturing any sewage lines that are left, and continuing to demolish houses. And not just around the wall, they're coming into the interior now, specifically targeting certain areas inside. Sometimes it's a random house, but further inside of the town, just to let the people know that at any time the tanks could come rolling in and take them. What happened recently is that 14 tanks came to one house. They fired one shell into the house. The family ran out. The 14 tanks sat around while one bulldozer took the house down, and that's it. It's happening all the time. I think they're in some ways trying to, in many areas, they try to come up with excuses for what they're doing. They say that it's in response to something a Palestinian has done if they engage in an act of resistance or something like this. But here in Rafah, it seems that they're not even looking for any kind of excuse, trying to offer up any explanation, because no one's asking for one. People are letting this happen.
Are people expecting things to get worse? If the United States appears to be collaborating directly now with Israel, there are military exercises taking place in preparation for the bombing of Iraq. Are people expecting things to get worse if there is, in fact, a full war against Iraq?
Absolutely. And one reason they think it's going to get worse is simply because all of the international attention will be on Iraq and not the West Bank and Gaza, and not on any of the political issues that are so important, like the right of return or like the ceasing of building of settlements. I mean, all international law is, you know, out the door at this point. The Israelis are not honoring it at all. The people here feel that they will either be completely obliterated or else they will be rounded up and moved out. And then what remains here will be destroyed. They really don't have much hope.
It certainly does sound like a very frightening time, Kristen Shura. We're going to have to say goodbye now, but before we do, how can people get more information on the International Solidarity Movement? How can they come and join you if they want?
We have a website for the ISM. It's www.palsolidarity.org. We invite any concerned international citizen to come, anyone who cares about what's happening here to come, anyone who's able to. And if you cannot come, we ask that at the least you follow the situation, seek out the real news about what's happening. Don't believe the corporate and state-run media. Together, if the people stood up, we could make this stop.
All right, Kristen Shura, talking to us from Gaza in the occupied Palestine, risking your life time and again. We do thank you for your commitment, your great courage, and please be careful.
Thank you, Dennis.